Member-supported Jazz 90.1 proudly welcomes you to America's longest-running computer show, Soundbites. Call the show now at 966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll free, 800-790-0415 or soundbites.org. Now, alongside Steve Ray and Dave Enright, here's Nick Francesco on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Good afternoon, Mr. and Mrs. America, all the chips and the PC. It is Saturday, the 18th day of October, Anno Domini 2025. And you, oh, you lucky people, you're listening to Sound Bites. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
And I'm Steve Ray.
And in 5 minutes after the hour, we are going to be bringing you news, views, things to choose, nothing to lose, kick off your shoes, don't get the blues. Have you paid your dues? Because we are in a pledge drive. We've talked about this before. We have mentioned that, twice a year, we come to you to ask you to continue the generous support of this station and of the programs on it, in particular, us.
Yeah.
We would like to continue to stay on this station. I'm not sure why some days, but we would, and we can't do that without you. And the way this works is that you can make a call and make a pledge. You can pledge either by giving us a call. I think Cheryl is here today.
Yep, she is.
Cheryl is here, and so you can give us a call at 585.
Sitting up there at the front desk, waiting patiently to take your calls and your pledges.
She's a sweetheart, so she'll be a joy for you to talk to. 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Or toll free at 800-790-0415. If you prefer, you can also pledge online at jazz901.org. Hit that big red donate now button. Make that call. Log right in. Make that pledge. And keep us on the air. While you do that, I will read today's news item. Windows 10 is dead. Long live Windows 11. So that's it. Windows 10 is officially dead. After 10 glorious years, Microsoft has finally made good on its threat to kill off 10.
Sort
except you can, of course, keep Windows 10 for another year by paying for the privilege or using one of Microsoft's other methods. That gives you another year of security updates, but not quality updates, as Microsoft is now apparently calling them. But that's it. Except, let's face it, a lot of this depends on how quickly people adopt Windows 11. Originally, Microsoft was talking all tough about how Windows 10 was going to end.
Mm-hmm.
No last-minute reprieve by the governor. Then they realized that, well, nobody was upgrading. So they launched the ESU program, the Extended Support Update, whatever it's called, unit program. And you can get that extra year, but that is definitely it.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely.
Mm-hmm.
Except, as we go through the year, there are still hundreds of millions of people still on 10. And that, I mean that literally. That's not even an exaggeration.
Well,
400 million.
Well, that's like I said. I got a machine just last year.
Yep.
And it came with Windows 10 on it. But it, when I went to check, it says, sorry, you're ineligible. I'm going to trash a computer that wasn't even a year old?
Yeah, exactly.
Uh-huh. No.
So who knows what Microsoft's going to do? Will they go all hardline? Maybe. Their shareholders aren't making money off of you 10 holdouts. That's bad. But the PR disaster of hundreds of millions of virus-ridden Windows machines is also bad. So Microsoft is trying to thread the needle by separating security updates from what they're now apparently calling quality updates, which seems to mean non-security bug fixes, new features, driver updates, things like that. Will the lack of quality updates make people move from 10 to 11? Well, sure, but will it be enough of them? We've got a year to go. We'll see who blinks first. So our poll of the week at soundbites.org, that's Bites with a Y, Francis would like us to remind you, is Windows 10 is dead, or is it? Dun-dun. I couldn't figure out how to get dun-dun in there. And the choices are you'll pry 10 from my cold, dead computer. I'll stick with 10 as long as I can. I wish I could afford to buy a new 11 computer. I'm already on 11. And you Windows people amuse me. Thanks. So far, we've got 26 votes, of which you Windows people amuse me. Thanks is over half of them. Only one person says, I wish I could afford to buy a new 11 computer. Well, if you can afford to buy a new 11 computer, you can afford to become a member of Jazz 90.1. We'll talk about that again in just a minute. But in the meantime, you can vote at the poll by going to soundbites.org. That's bites with a Y. Francis would like us to remind you. And vote there in the poll. And, of course, if you have anything to say about that or anything else, you can give us a call at 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299 or toll-free at 800-790-0415.
And didn't I read that the October Patch Tuesday update caused a whole bunch of Windows 11 problems and millions of people had to roll back?
Yeah.
Millions of people had to roll back. And if you roll back the updates from 10, if you can roll them back, what happens then? That's the other part of the problem with getting these updates for a year. You get security updates for a year, but how good are they? We've seen many rollbacks happen over time, and will you be able to roll back the security updates for 10? And if you can, will you be able to get an update for those, or will you have to wait another month?
Yeah.
You're certainly not going to get quality updates. So let's say there's a bug in a driver. They're not going to fix that. If it's not a security update, you don't get a fix.
Now, there were 172 bugs patched in October and right. 6 zero-day security flaws.
And even right. with the rollbacks, how assuring are you going to be that it put everything
back the way
it was
right.
and didn't leave remnants of other stuff that's now going to be broken?
Well, because let's not forget, one of the things that we've seen over the last few years with Windows is they don't do a really good job of quality control. I was trying to be polite.
Nick made it funny.
And use words I could say on the air. they don't do a terrific job of quality control. And at this point, they don't care about Windows 10 anymore.
Mm-mm.
So are they doing any quality assurance on 10 rollbacks or bug fixes or anything at all?
If you believe that, I got a bridge I'm going to sell you that goes from California to Hawaii.
Well, exactly right. So they will give you security updates, and I'm sure they will make sure many of them will run. But you're not going to get bug fixes. If there's a new feature that comes out, you don't get it. If there's a glitch in the keyboard driver, they're not going to fix that if it's not a security issue. And you're paying $30 for that privilege. So, one of the other reasons is. And so, it really is down to the fact right now that we have two classes of Microsoft citizens. There are the first-class citizens who are on Windows 11, and then there are the very much second-class citizens who are still on 10. And that's just the way it's going to be, and you're going to be more and more second as time goes on.
What if I'm still running 7?
I picked up a couple of laptops from Joel. Thank you, Joel, this week. And one of them runs 7 fairly well. But I put Linux on them, and they run just phenomenally.
Yep.
Thank you very much. But it ran 7. And I thought, we're not doing that. But you have to understand that keeping 10 for another year means you are less and less in date. So you're more and more out of date. And that's just the way it is. But like I said, Microsoft originally was all hard line. There will be no more Windows 10. Shut up. Move on. It's what Apple has done 5 times in the past, maybe. Everything you know is wrong. Throw away all your old hardware and get new.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Apple, as we all know, is a cult. And they will all do that.
Yeah.
And some of them will complain, but those people will be shut out by everybody else.
Yeah. They give us too much warning. So they've already said that the OS 26 is the last OS for Intel-based Macs.
Right.
So when OS 27 comes out next year, they're using car year numbers. So.
So
OS 27 will come out in the fall of 26. It won't work on Intel Macs.
Right.
And let's wait for the outcry from people that can't run it we told you a year ago.
Right, right, right.
And half the problem.
Well, so did Microsoft.
Right,
so what?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Big so deal. What?
Yep.
People don't care. And in many cases, well, so okay, so slightly different there from what happened to Dave. Dave bought what he thought was a perfectly good, brand new,
yeah,
wonderful laptop.
i5.
i5 processor. It should be able to pick, it's brand new. It should be able to pick up the new operating system.
Mm-hmm.
Nope.
Nope.
At least with Macs, you know that if you buy an Intel-based Mac, it really, no kidding, is not usable in a year with the new operating system.
With the new, yeah, so don't upgrade. So what Apple typically does is they support the current version and two versions old. And so that means that if your computer can run OS 14, because that's two versions old, you still are going to be getting updated support. And that means all the computers back to like 2016, 2017. So they give you 10 years.
Yeah, that's not bad.
Yeah. But
well, they gave 10 years to the Windows people.
Windows, yep. I just looked up, according to global stats, Windows 7 still has a 9% market share.
Yes, it does.
Of Windows.
Well, many of those are like ATMs and stuff. So
Windows,
yeah, and some machines that, you know, are proprietary as far as the software that they have to run.
Yep. Windows XP is still 0.3%. And out of how many billions of Windows computers are there? That's a big number.
Yeah. Well, I've got a friend that runs a vinyl shop.
Yeah, vinyl cutters were big.
And he had to stick with Windows 7.
Yep.
Because the key that goes on the back of that computer will only work with a Windows 7 machine software. Yep. And so he stuck to it.
No, I get that. I get that. You know,
Somebody sent me a vinyl update program when we mentioned this last time on a replacement program for vinyl cutters. Let me see if I can find it. Probably not.
But anyway, let's go to the phones. Our first caller is Chuck from Penfield, New York. What's up, Chuck?
Hello, gentlemen. Different topic.
Yeah.
I picked up a surround sound system from a fellow who was heading out of town. He says, I'm gone. You can have it. Here it is. Worked for me. It's been fine. It's got a Sony DVD Blu-ray player with Panasonic speakers. Now, they're 6 ohms as opposed to 3, but that should be fine. The problem is coming with the rear speakers, which are wireless, and trying to get the Sony front end to talk to the Panasonic back end. When I do the pairing thing, it just sits there and looks stupid and says, I'm timed out, go get some coffee. I've been all around the internet, and everybody says, can't do it, proprietary. But I gave this guy a call back, and he says, I was using it for the longest time. The little green light lit on the thing on the back, and everything worked fine. Any way that I can check whether the Bluetooth pairing mechanism is working correctly so I can at least verify that the two pieces are working? Maybe they're not talking to each other, but they are functioning and I don't have a hardware problem somewhere?
Sounds like RF. We'll
try to pair it to your computer or phone.
Okay, well,
what I would make sure the devices are literally next to each other while you do the pairing, and then move the rear speakers to the rear after you get them paired.
Yeah.
Literally, like, within 2 feet? Because I've got them, like, 8 or 10 feet. One, the TV and the DVD, and then I'm sitting on the couch with the remote, or with the rear thing. You want it closer than that?
I would get it as close as you can get.
Yeah, sitting right beside each other.
Yeah.
Okay. But it doesn't have to be that way to function, though.
No, but
to get the pairing.
Yeah, oh, okay.
But the other thing is, as Steve said, if you try pairing with another device...
Well, will they pair with other devices? Because they're kind of a... I mean, if you have a generic set of headphones or whatever, you can pair that with your tablet or your whatever. So, but these are kind of specific devices.
That could be the problem. It, you know, it may not be generic Bluetooth. It may be proprietary Bluetooth for that speaker.
But you could at least see... for example, if you turn on the speakers and set them into pairing mode...
Yep.
And then you turn on your phone or your computer and put that in pairing mode. They should at least show up, whether they'll connect.
Yeah.
You should at least see them if they are, in fact, Bluetooth and working as Bluetooth.
I also wonder about RF.
interference?
Yeah. You know, if he's got other stuff, you know, going on, it could be messing with the Bluetooth signal.
Yeah, for example, his router is right next to it.
Yeah.
No, the router is twice as far away.
I mean, because like in my house, which has, you know, it's 100 years old, if I'm sitting in one room, radio or the phone service stinks. But yet if I go out into the kitchen, clear as a bell. No problem. Five bars, you know, no sweat.
Okay. So for at least for starters, I ought to get the two within a couple feet of each other.
Yeah, and see if they're going to pair.
Things. And then I ought to be able to. I have an app on one of my tablets that shows you all of your Blu-ray or Bluetooth devices.
There you go.
But that should be just on anything you want to try and pair. Mm-hmm. It's going to show up, and then you pick the one you want to pair.
Yep.
Right.
Okay.
So at least you'll know if it's showing up.
Okay.
Whether you pair with it or not, you'll know it showed up.
Right. That's all I'm concerned with right now.
Right.
Are they alive? If one or the other or both are dead, then all bets are off.
Right. Exactly.
Correct.
Right.
Okay. All right. Okay, thank you very much.
All right, good luck.
Yep, bye.
Thanks, Chuck.
And I would be surprised if two different brands would talk to each other.
Yeah.
Yeah, yes, and I agree with that. But if the first guy
said it did, then
right,
yeah.
Right. But if it is Bluetooth, you should at least be able to see them.
Yeah.
Announce themselves. Now, that assumes that they're in pairing mode.
True.
Yeah.
You know, I've seen so many things where you have to, you know, stand on one foot and spit jelly beans in order to get it to go into pairing mode.
Turning one way or the other.
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
I got annoyed when I bought a LG surround sound and it advertised wireless rear speakers. Oh, cool, great. Don't have to string wires anymore. I get them. They're not wireless to each other. They're wired to a central box, and that central box is then wireless to the booster, the front speakers. Yeah,
nice.
Okay, that's better than nothing, but
right, it's not what you were looking for.
Yeah, not what you're hoping for.
Yeah. That's Bluetooth. One of the great things we have is the ability to hook so many things up wirelessly. The problem is, everything is wireless, and they all use the same frequency, 2.4 gigahertz. So everything is using that same frequency. Signals degrade quickly as signals bounce off each other at the 2.4 gigahertz spectrum. So that's why a lot of people have now moved their routers to 5 gigahertz. Of course, now we have that same problem with 5 gigahertz because lots of people have done that. But because 5 gigahertz is at least a shorter distance, only goes a shorter distance, my 5 gigahertz doesn't interfere with my neighbor's 5 gigahertz as much.
And then they've added 6 gigahertz now, too.
Now there's 6 gigahertz.
That is a shorter distance, and neither 5 nor 6 gigahertz goes through walls very well.
Right, exactly. I have some devices on 5 gigahertz. That when, because I also live in a 120-year-old house, 140-year-old house, thank you very much. And there are rooms that I will go into where that thing cuts out. It's done. It just, that signal cannot get through that wall.
Yeah.
Well, I've had
it. Wasn't that big a deal in the olden days when your computer and your router were in the same office, office?
Well, and it also isn't a big deal when you're living in a house that was built after 1950 when the walls are paper thin to begin with.
And I also,
now we want our tablets on the couches, and we want our wireless TV.
yep.
And I also wonder about the filtration of systems, because right now, like if I try on my phone, I set up it as a hotspot, and I try to tether it to, say, my tablet. Well, if I'm in the car and I've got, you know, the radio that on, it won't connect because the tethering and Wi-Fi connection between that and the phone and my hotspot interfere with each other, and it won't. The phone keeps saying, "Can't find internet," because the car is hogging it.
Yep.
So I have to turn that off. Literally, open the door of the car, close it, then it'll connect to the internet. Otherwise, nope, I could do that until the cows come home, and it ain't happening.
Right. And then there's the WPA 1, 2, and 3.
Yeah.
And which one of those are you using? Right now there's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 13 Wi-Fi hotspots that this laptop sees.
Yeah.
13 of them. Just here. It's a lot.
Yeah.
I usually see more than that at home, actually.
Oh, that doesn't surprise me. Yeah, at home, you know, around the area and that people. Well, it's becoming so popular.
Yeah.
Well, and we're in a school. We're not close to anybody, really.
Right. Well, these are all by the SSIDs. They're all part of the school system.
But the thing of it is like we've been saying, though, is more and more folks are moving away from desktop computers to wireless. They're going with the laptops, the computer, the tablets, and their phones. It's all being done that way versus, you know, a desktop that was hardwired right to your internet and no problems there, got connected and yada, yada, yada. You could do everything.
Wireless headsets, earphones.
Yep.
You know, my hearing aids talk to my phone. How
Same
do they
here.
Do that, do you think? Well, it's Bluetooth.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, everything is wireless. We used to joke that the only difference between Star Trek, except for the magic, right?
The transporter.
Except for the magic, the only real difference between Star Trek technology and our technology is no wires. That's not true anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Well, going back even farther, the old Dick Tracy.
The two-way wrist radio.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was the hottest thing since laser slice.
Oh, that'll never happen.
We've had that for several years now, and no one uses them.
No one uses them. And now you can take pictures with them, and you can talk, and you can see people. You can do...
It measures your blood pressure, and, you know, I mean, you can
your
get
heart
it to
rate.
One neat thing.
Your sleep patterns.
Yes.
One neat thing the Apple Watch has, probably Android watches now, too, because it's paired to my phone.
Yep.
You know how you want to take a group shot, and you set a timer, and everyone has to be, you know... You can preview it on your watch... And then you go down and you smile at the camera and push the button on your watch and it takes the picture.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. And you know, I when I'm driving, I never take out my phone. I always, you know, I ask my watch to call whoever I'm calling. And I cannot tell you the last time I took my credit card out of my wallet.
Your name?
Mm-hmm.
I pay with my watch.
You gotta speak up.
Which I have to be honest.
We'll have you on after the break.
You pull up to a drive-thru, for example, and there's like a 16-year-old kid working there, and she's shocked when she sees me use my watch. You should not be shocked.
Yeah.
I'm the old man. I'm supposed to be shocked that people can
use
their watches.
Yeah. I saw a cute a cartoon where Wonder Woman and Captain America were talking about the magic. So the golden lasso, how does that make you tell the truth? When she's trying to explain it, so he says, so it's magic. No. Well, how does your shield work? Well, it's vibranium. It absorbs vibrations. And then, well, then how does it bounce?
Yeah.
Shouldn't it absorb those vibrations? So it's magic.
It's magic. That's all it is. So we spend an inordinate amount of time on our devices these days.
Yeah.
And so we're really using those radio waves.
So much so that Apple and Google have put programs on to track the amount of time you use under the guise of parental control, so you make sure your kid doesn't use it as much.
Right.
But it's odd, although you can see how much you use it, too.
Well, there's always been this program that I could run on my computer that reminds me to take a break.
Mm-hmm. Now my watch does that. Stand up.
I can have that. Now you can have it on your watch and your phone, everywhere. Because we do spend so much screen time, so much time on our devices that it just gets to be a little much on a daily basis. We're all wireless here.
Yeah.
He's got 1, 2, 3, 4 devices running. I've got 3. You've got 1. 2.
Slacker.
5. I have 5. Right. If you look around at the number of wireless devices you have running.
Yeah, the interference that you can get.
And, you know, now it's your smart speakers. mm-hmm. as well. You know, I've got one in the bedroom. I've got one in the computer room. I've got one in the kitchen. I've got one in the living room. It's ridiculous. And they're all connected. I've said this before. If we could see the electromagnetic spectrum, we'd be blind.
Yeah, Jordy LaForge should be blinded. He shouldn't see better. He should be completely blinded by all that stuff coming at him.
Exactly right. All right, listen, we're going to take a quick break. But we'll be back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, me, Nick Francesco, and you. It is 29 minutes after the hour. You're listening to the longest-running computer show in the known universe. That's Soundbites. Give us a call. We'll be right back on member-supported. Member-supported. Jazz 90.1.
Computer talk you can understand. More Sound Bites is next on member supported Jazz 90.1.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
And I'm Steve Ray.
And at 35 minutes after the hour, we are Sound Bites. And before we get back to the phones, I just want to remind everybody that we are in a pledge drive. We come to you only twice a year and ask for your support. Well, actually, we come to you twice a year unless there's a shortfall.
And yeah.
We may have a
which happens. I mean,
we did okay the first week this time around. not great, but okay. And we appreciate each and every one of you who was kind and generous enough to donate. But now we need the rest of you to step up. The reality is that these are parlous economic times. We do understand that.
Mm-hmm.
And we understand that a lot of people are feeling the squeeze. You have to understand that so are we. And we don't have any way to get money except through you folks. And we appreciate each and every one of you is kind and generous enough to donate. Like, for example, Sandra did. Thank you very much, Sandra. Thank you very, very much. Thank you. And this is in memory of her husband, Don. God bless you. God bless you and Don. Thank you so much.
We can only assume that the phones are quiet because everyone's pledging online.
That's exactly right, which you can do, by the way. You can, if you want, give us a call. Speak to the lovely and talented Cheryl. She's
sitting there patiently
waiting. Her number, the number is 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Or toll free at 800-790-0415. But, of course, you can pledge securely online at jazz901.org any time of the day or night, 24/7, 365. All you have to do is go to jazz901.org and hit that big red donate now button. And let me talk to each and every one of you who's currently watching this on YouTube, whether it's live or you're watching it later.
In alphabetical order.
In alphabetical order, collectively and individually, I want to tell you that you are sitting at a computer or a phone or a tablet, which means you could also be logging on to jazz901.org and making that pledge. Look, I pay attention to the number of people each week, each month who download our podcasts and watch us on the air and listen on the thing, and we see the number that creeps up over there. If each and every one of you pledged at the $30 level, this pledge drive would be over fast.
Mm.
Now, I realize not every one of you can pledge the $30 level. Was it 30 or 35? Now I forget.
Yeah. It doesn't matter what
amount. Well, at the $35 level, it's senior citizen and student, right? So $35.
Mm-hmm.
You can pledge less, of course. We are happy to take whatever donation you can afford. There's no wrong amount. But many of you can afford to pay more. And if you pay more, then you make up for the people who paid less. So the average should be $35. But that's up to you. And it depends on each and every one of you to make that call, make that pledge, keep us on the air. We would love to end this pledge drive early.
Yeah.
We would really love to do that. And I bet you'd like it too. But we can't do that until we raise the money. So if you make a call and make the pledge, we will be done. Each and every one of you, $35 level, or as much as you can afford, and we will be done.
And we, like you said, we only come to you folks twice a year. There are other stations out there that are going like 3 and 4 times a year.
Yeah.
Constantly asking folks for money. We come only 2 times. We're a small station. We're one of the few jazz stations left on the air, I think.
You can count them all on one hand,
yeah,
I think.
Yeah, I think we're down to either about 4 or 5 actual stations that are playing jazz music all the time and the variety of programs. And look, at in the middle of it, he turns around and throws a talk show program in the middle of a Saturday afternoon. That was a gutsy move by Rob.
It was.
And, you know, there was no denying that.
Rob's not a bright guy sometimes. And he makes those kind of choices.
Yeah, I mean, but, you know, he had faith in us. I mean, he knew us from, you know, when we were at the other stations and knew that we had a great listening audience that was true and faithful and supported us. And we don't want to let him down on that because, what, we've been here now, what, 16, 17 years?
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah, I mean, wow. To go from, you know,
16 years, 4 months, and 12 days.
And to a station that throughout the whole week, you will hear nothing but music. We are the only talk show out of 7 days that you hear. You can call and get your computer questions answered. Nowhere else. Not right. In the other time of the week you can sit there and say, well, I'll grab this show or I'll grab that one. No, we're unique. We're here every Saturday from 12 to 2, like clockwork. You can turn on the radio. We're there.
We're there for you.
Yeah. The only times that we don't and we do reruns is whether Christmas or New Year's falls on a Saturday.
Right.
We spend our time with our families. Otherwise, our butts are in the chair, and we're on the air.
And we are here for you, and we need you to be here for us. So make that call, 585-966-JAZZ. It's 966-5299. Toll free, 800-790-0415. Or pledge securely online at jazz901.org. We'd also like to thank William for his generous donation. Thank you so much, William. We appreciate all of our pledgers, whether they're online or on the phone. Speaking of on the phone, let's go to Fred from Henrietta, New York. What's up, Fred?
Well, first, I am a member.
Yay! Thank you so much.
Second, happy end of 10.
We should have had a party.
Again.
Well, the
I'm not dead yet!
One of the things I wanted to mention was if people don't want to spend a whole lot of money on a brand new, computer for Windows 11. I'd like to suggest Dell recertified computers.
Yeah,
they're really good deals. You get a 1 month warranty standard. You can extend that to a year for like $30. A friend of mine bought an 11th generation i5 with 16 gig of RAM, 256 gig SSD, and Win 10 Pro. It was only $220. And then Woot had a Microsoft Office Pro 2021 on sale for $30. So for under $300, she got a really fine computer.
Yep. Yep.
So that's second thing I'm running Windows 11 25H2 on a 5th gen i3 with 8 gig of RAM. It's about 10 years old. I also got a newer i3, but you can run Windows 11 on older machines, 10-year-old machines, but you've got to debloat it a little bit, and you've got to be sort of careful how you use it. Like if you want to run 20 things at once, and it probably won't work. But
right.
For most people, an i3 will work, and 8 gigs is fine. I've got 2 machines running that, and my brother's got one, and an i3 is fine. But you do have to make some debloating.
Well, you have to debloat, and you also have to make sure that you understand it's going to be slow.
Yes, it's going to be slower. It's actually no slower than 10, but obviously an i5 or an i7
right.
or a brand new fancy one is going to be faster.
Right.
But you know, if you don't need that and you've got an older machine and you don't want to spend the money, you don't really have to.
Right. I will caution people that if you do not have a TPM 2.0 chip, then you will find that Microsoft is working very diligently to close all the loopholes that let you run 11 on those machines.
That's true.
And so you just need to be careful. Nobody's going to promise that those machines will continue to work in the future.
For the older ones, yes. Now, the 25H2 does still run without the TPM, and you're right. At some point, they may block that. The theory is
right.
that for maybe 26H2, they might do it, but 25H2 is out and runs, and that's supposed to be good for 2 years.
Only until the next update, right? That's all we can guarantee.
Right. Mm-hmm. That's true. That is absolutely true.
That's all we can guarantee. So we're, you know, I'm not telling people that they should put that on a machine without TPM 2.0. You certainly can. I personally will not recommend it because I don't want anybody calling me up and saying, you told me I could do this and now I can't.
No. A hack is a hack. I get that. I've got a second SSD that has Windows 10 on it up until October 15th. So if this all of a sudden goes bust on me, I can pull out the Windows 11 SSD, slap back in the Windows 10, and I'm no worse off than where I was.
Right. And you understand that, and you can do that, and that makes sense. Right? That makes a lot of sense.
Yes.
Yeah.
Let me ask Dave about something, though. If he's got a fairly new computer and it's not working, you do realize that TPM is sometimes turned off in your BIOS, and if you're on Windows Updates tool thing, if your TPM is turned off, switched off in your BIOS or your secure boot, that the tool will say, well, you can't update this. It doesn't know that you have it switched off.
No, I'm a computer repair man, and I did a lot of extensive looking into the BIOS, you know, and everything else, and that was one of the first things I did when it sat there and said, I don't have it. I had to try to prove them wrong.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Which I was proven wrong because it doesn't.
Dave is nothing if not stubborn.
Yeah. Oh.
If you ask his wife, she'll use words you can't say on the radio. Mm-hmm. But
it's the Irish in me.
It's the what?
It's the Irish in me.
It's the something in you. That's for sure.
But how can you have a 1 or 2 year old computer that can't take 11? I just don't get that.
It's just the motherboard.
Yeah,
there's a stack pile of motherboards, and it depended on when that one was slapped into that box. It's just like...
Oh, a TPM, on an Intel chip, the TPM is built into the chip. It's not a separate module. It's
right.
Built
right.
In,
so
I believe.
It may not be a TPM limitation. Yeah. The Windows PC Health Check will tell you specifically what doesn't work. And on my computer, it was the PC, the CPU itself was not
too
supported.
Old.
Yeah.
Right.
I have a TPM, but the CPU is too old.
I didn't worry about it too much because I only needed that one machine. Otherwise, three of my other machines upstairs, gee, guess what they run?
Yep.
And it ain't Windows.
Wow. All right. No, I hear you. I on my main machines, I'm running Mint. I've been running Linux for 15 years, but I have the occasional need for Windows, so I need a Windows.
Well, so does my wife's machine. I wound up upgrading her to Windows 11, and it when it didn't, in fact, I hate to admit it, but her machine, with all the junk that she's got on it, seems to be running a little bit faster.
My wife, too. She's a Windows person. She wants what she wants, and
she wants it
the way she wants it. And she's on 11.
I'm not going to that battle.
Exactly right. There are battles you don't fight, and that's one of them.
I want to sleep with both eyes closed.
You want 11, honey? You'll have 11.
Yep.
Not a problem.
And yes,
so
you know, if you play with 11 long enough, the 10 really does seem very dated when you go back to it. So I got one laptop that's running 10 because it can't be upgraded, even with a hack, and two running 11, and I prefer the 11 now.
Well, like I said,
people just didn't want to go because they don't like change, but the change isn't a bad one.
Well, the only reason I was fighting it was because I was trying to find something to replace Quicken. And I found Money Dance, and Money Dance runs on any platform. So it was my problem was solved. I had no problem going to Linux. I've used Linux for a while, and that just drove me that much easier over to that side.
Well, I don't blame you.
Yeah.
We all like Linux.
Yeah, we do. All right. Thanks, Fred.
All right. Have a nice day.
You too. Thanks so much.
Yeah, the fact that the start menu is in the center is just...
really throws.
It's so easy to change, though. Right click on the toolbar, and you can sit there and say, oh, shift it over to the left.
Yeah, exactly.
Give me a break, Eastie.
Although, Adam Engstrom Tidbits just posted a big article on how to solidify your liquid glass on OS 26 because it looks completely different. So he went through all the settings where you can turn all that transparency stuff off.
I just did that in my newsletter on Sunday.
Yeah?
Yeah. It's settings. Mm-hmm. You go into settings and you say, I don't want this, I don't want this, I don't want this, and it goes away.
What was interesting is during the public betas, it used to be a lot glassier.
Yeah.
And they toned it down, you know, during the beta feedback process to what they actually shipped.
Well, and that's because people were complaining that it was too transparent.
Yeah.
And this is the problem I've had with those science fiction transparent screens.
Yeah.
I would get distracted.
You can see your desktop.
I'm a little ADHD. I would be distracted by what's behind there.
You can see your desktop picture through the widgets.
I can see that.
I want to see the widget.
I can see if I, on my home machine, because it's now a much better graphics card, if I have two windows open and I focus on one, the other one gets mildly transparent, and I can see the picture on my desktop through it, and it annoys me.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's a thing. All right, back to the phones. Our next caller is Bill from Greece, New York. What's up, Bill?
Hey, good afternoon, guys.
Hiya.
I'm still an old fogey that thinks computers should be fun.
What is wrong with you, Bill?
Yeah. And I found a derivative for Firefox called Florp, F-L-O-O-R-P. It's got a built-in mouse gestures, which I absolutely love. But the other thing is that when you open it up, it comes with a new wallpaper every time you open it. It's got a landscape-styled wallpaper, and I actually love that. I've got variety on my desktop, so I can have a changing wallpaper when I open up. But Florp will let you have a new wallpaper, and it's got some trimmed-down things from Firefox. It's got a little more security on it. But in the act of having fun, I just love opening and seeing a new landscape wallpaper.
Yep. Nice!
Unlimited customization for everyone is their slogan.
Yeah.
Which is interesting. But Apple, for the longest time, and even Microsoft a little bit, have actively tried to stop you from customizing the look and feel of your interface because that's their look and feel. We know what's best.
Yeah, they know what's best. One of the reasons that I very much like using XFCE is because I've been able to customize the look to something that I've never seen on any other system. Yeah, no, I completely agree with you. The ability to make it look the way you want it to look is a beautiful, beautiful thing.
Florp, yeah, huh? And on another point, I just talked to the lovely Cheryl and made a donation because I am a member.
Thank you so much.
Painless. Everybody should try to do it, and Cheryl's a lovely person. Have a good afternoon.
You too, sir. Thank you, Bill. Appreciate that. You heard him. Both Fred and Bill are members, and you could be too. All you have to do is call 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Or toll free at 800-790-0415 and speak to the lovely and talented Cheryl, who would be delighted to assist you in making that pledge. Alternately, if you're the sort of person who doesn't like to talk to humans, or you just want to do it yourself on your computer, or you're one of those people watching on YouTube or listening to the podcast later in the week, you can head on over to jazz901.org and make that pledge.
That site's open 24/7 to do as much as you want to give. Like we've said before, there is no wrong amount, so don't think, well, I can't give that much. It doesn't matter.
But we should also talk about Jazz-O-Matic.
Oh, yeah.
There's a thing called Jazz-O-Matic, and where you give a set amount every month, minimum of $10, so that's $120 a year, because we only do it for 12 months. At the end of that time, it stops. There's no ongoing nothing happening.
No,
here.
You have to renew it.
So you say, basically, I want to give, say, $10 a month or $20 a month or, you know, $200 a month. And what they will do is then that just automatically comes out of your checking account, and we get that money, but you get the benefit of the full level. So let's say you do the $10 a month. That puts you at the $120 level. And so that means that you get whatever gift, the $120, I think that's the bites with a Y level. Is that what that is? Here it is right in front of me. Oh, it's the Hey Nice Shirt level. That's right. At the $120 level, your benefits are the Jazz 90.1 digital member card. We should talk about that. The black Soundbites short sleeve T-shirt or the black stainless steel tumbler, which is a I have the white one. It's amazing.
This is the white T-shirt from years ago.
Yep. And that Jazz the digital membership card. It's a thing that sits on your phone and it gives you discounts everywhere it seems.
Mm-hmm.
And they are always adding
wineries,
new things.
And
you can go to other cities and get the discount there as well. You call them up and you say, I'm going to be in Seattle for a week.
Soundbite's your name.
Can you? And here's my member number. Yeah, okay, you're authorized for Seattle. Go have fun. Spend money. And they're happy to do that for you. And you can, the $120 is you make that back fast. If you go out even semi-regularly, you will make that back fast. So we have the $35 senior and student level, the $50 base member level, the 90-10 sponsor level, 90-10, get it? That's where the benefits start, the tote bag or the baseball cap. Then at the $100, that's bites with a Y level, the $120 Hey Nice Shirt level, the $150 supporter level, and the $365 dollar a day level, which is a dollar a day. How do you go wrong with that? How do you go wrong with that? You know, if you join at the $50 level, that's a dollar a week for this show, and you still get 2 weeks free. I mean, come on.
Yeah. One other thing we should reassure folks is when you go online and put all your information in there, we do not resell your information or reuse it to pass on to other places. The only reason, we'll take your information is to maybe send you a thank you letter for your great support.
Or the gift.
Or the gifts to mail out. Otherwise, that data does not leave this building.
It doesn't even stay in this building.
Yeah.
We don't keep that information.
Nope.
If we do fill out a paper form, which we don't much anymore, but
yeah,
if we fill
little.
Out a paper form, we shred them
as
soon as the information is put online.
We don't want, sit there and say, well, yeah, I donated and all of a sudden I'm getting all these other emails. Nope, not from us. Nope. You would have to get it from somebody else because I can guarantee you that your data is safe here and is not passed on to get other promotions or anything else.
Yep. And one way you we've talked about this before. You can have plus emails. So let's say your email address is nick@gmail.com. Mine is not nick@gmail.com. So do not, if there is somebody named nick@gmail.com, do not email that person thinking it's me because it is not. But let's say it was. nick@gmail.com. I could sign up here as Nick plus the plus sign, nick+jazz@gmail.com. It would still come to me, but I would see that plus jazz and know where that email address came from.
Yep.
And you can do that with any Gmail address. I think you can do that with a bunch of other addresses.
You can make an iCloud alias.
An alias in iCloud.
They also have Hide My Email, where they make a random email address. So when you want to sign up to get some catalog but don't want to get on a junk mail list.
I also have a duck.com address, which is completely false. It forwards to an address that nobody knows, and it weeds out all the ads and all that other stuff from the duck.com address that I've got. So yeah, there's a lot of ways that you can assure yourself that we are not doing anything with your email addresses or your phone numbers or any of that nonsense. So please make that call, make that pledge. We're going to take a slightly longer break because the first hour of this show is now in the history books. But there's a whole other hour of the longest running computer show coming your way. It's a whole other hour of Dave Enright, a whole other hour of Steve Ray, a whole other hour of me, Nick Francesco, and, of course, a whole nother hour of you. But while we are in the process of preparing that, it's time for you to make that call and make that pledge. 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll free 800-790-0415. Or, of course, you can pledge securely online at jazz901.org. While you do that, we'll take a little bio break, and we'll be back in just a couple of minutes with a whole nother hour of sound bites on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Online 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at soundbites.org. More with Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray next on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
WGMC Greece Rochester.
A public service of the Greece Central School District.
Jazz 90.1.
On Facebook at Jazz 901 FM.
Welcome back to America's longest running computer show, Soundbites, on member supported Jazz 90.1. Get online now. Call 966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll free 800-790-0415. Or submit your question by email at soundbites.org. Once again, here's Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray on member supported Jazz 90.1.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
And I'm Steve Ray.
And at 4 minutes after the hour, we're hurtling headlong into the second hour of the longest-running computer show in the known universe, Soundbites. And we've got a phone guy. But wait, before we go to the phones, let me remind you, for those of you who are only tuning in for the second hour, that we are in the midst of a pledge drive. Twice a year, we come to you and remind you that this station is member-supported. That means that we need your dollars. We don't get government money. Well, nobody gets government money anymore. But we don't get government money, state money, local money. We don't get... Anyway. When we say member supported, we ain't kidding. The money needs to come from you. So if you're listening to this show in the podcast or over the air or through your smart speaker, or if you're watching us on YouTube or Facebook or wherever we're broadcasting, however we're broadcasting, please just take a couple of minutes. It's all it takes. And you can call the lovely and talented Cheryl, who's at 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Or toll free 800-790-0415. Or you can pledge securely online at jazz901.org. Hit that big red donate now button. Make that donation. Make that pledge. Help keep this show on the air. Look, you listen to this show every single week. You know you do. That's got to be worth a little something. I mean, you're spending your precious time to listen to us. It's got to be worth something.
Mm-hmm.
So please make that call, make that pledge. Help us stay on the air. This isn't a joke anymore. This isn't, you know, a thing that I'm just saying in order to get you to send in money. You know what the economic climate is like these days.
Yeah.
We need your dollars. 585-966-JAZZ. Thank you, 966-5299. Toll free 800-790-0415. While you do that, we'll talk to Dave from Canandaigua, New York. What's up, Dave?
Oh, who knows?
Nobody knows.
I got a bunch of questions. but based on the comment you just made about what your time is worth, well, I'm self-employed, so it's not worth anything.
Well, nobody cares. But we are, so make that pledge anyway.
Yeah. I'm actually setting up this old MacBook Pro. And in the process of doing things, I had to struggle a little bit to update the wireless adapter. I just did a system update, and I got error messages where something failed, and like a whole long list of things that couldn't tell whatever. But now everything works fine. I haven't rebooted yet, but should I just ignore that if everything's working?
Well, if everything you need is working, that doesn't mean there's things that aren't working. But
well, right.
So, you know, for example, I just set up a couple of laptops. I got from Joel. Thank you again, Joel. But I haven't yet tested the sound. I haven't yet tested the cameras, you know, stuff like that. So, you know, if everything you need is working, you win.
There should be a log file left over from that last install to go in and see what the errors were and look up whatever the error occurred on. Because I know when error messages fly by on screen, and you don't have time to read anything.
Right, but there is a log file.
Yeah, okay, I'll dig that out. But another question, I'm installing Thunderbird, and when I bring up the software manager, Thunderbird is listed in two different boxes here. One is just regular, and then Thunderbird, and it has Flat Hub underneath it. And one of them has a different star rating than the other.
Yeah.
And do I really care about which one I pick?
Okay, so, and this is on Linux or on a Mac? On Mac OS?
Not on Linux.
Oh, yeah, okay, Linux, all right, now it makes sense. All right, yeah. So here's the thing. There are multiple ways that you can install programs on Linux. Every Linux system has what is called a repository, where the many programs live. There's also a separate way that you can install them called Snap, S-N-A-P. That's mostly used by Ubuntu and Ubuntu derivatives. It's a canonical thing. There's a separate one called Flatpaks, which you get from the Flat Hub. And there's a third one that's just called an app image. The difference is when you install something from the repository, it's like installing a regular Windows program. So if there are in Windows, as you may remember, there's a thing called DLL Hell, the dynamic link libraries. You may have an old version for one thing and a new version for another thing. They get confused and things don't work well. That can still happen, although it is rare, that can still happen with using items in the repository. The standard repository, because it uses the link libraries for a lot of things. When you use a Snap or a Flatpak, those are fully packaged instances. So you get the entire thing as a single image that runs independently of every other device in your computer. So they are generally much larger. So if you don't have a lot of disk space, don't use Snaps or Flatpaks. They also take a little longer to load because they are loading everything they need, which means they also take up a little more RAM. So if you don't have a lot of RAM, you know how that goes. But if you've got the space and you've got the RAM, then that is a very convenient way to install software and also a way to generally, not 100%, but 99%, guarantee that the software you install has no way to interfere with other software that's been installed. That makes sense?
Yep.
Okay. Yep. And you can run multiple Flatpaks simultaneously. So, for example, I run both Thunderbird and Firefox as Flatpaks.
Is it kind of like a sandbox?
As Snaps. Well, it's sort of like a virtual machine.
Hmm.
It creates a virtual machine for that one program.
So it can't.
So it's a right. Now that can be a problem, right? There are some programs that need to interact with the operating system. They do not run well as Snaps or Flatpaks. So, for example, OBE.
Yeah.
It would be a problem. Can be a problem as a Snap or a Flatpak. So you would load that from your repository. But Firefox, not a problem. Thunderbird, not a problem, et cetera, et cetera. So where you install it from is entirely up to you. The other thing you have to remember is that when you do an upgrade or an update to your Linux box, the Snaps and the Flatpaks have to update separately. So you would do a sudo apt update and a sudo apt upgrade to update and upgrade all your apt programs. A snap would be sudo snap refresh. And that would refresh all your snaps. And then I forget what it is for Flatpaks because I don't use them. And it would be a different command for the Flatpaks. So if you were doing it, you know, however you do it, it would be three separate sets of commands depending on what you've got running. But, it lets you keep, you know, snaps and flat packs let you keep things very separate and keep your system, some people believe, keep your system much cleaner.
Okay.
But again, now take a look at the ratings. Because let's say Thunderbird gets a 5.0 as a part of the repository and a 3.0 as a flat pack. It may be that if you look in there, you will see that certain functions don't work because they need the underlying operating system connectivity that flat packs don't have.
Huh. Yeah, because the flat pack was actually a lower rating than the
there you go.
Native one.
But you know, you can look at the ratings, you can look at the reviews and see why and decide whether that's anything that's important to you.
Oh, if I click on it before I install it, there's a description.
Yep.
I didn't recognize that. There's reviews under there, and I didn't really pay attention.
Yeah.
Click, Kathy.
Yeah. So being the mysterious, crazy explorer, I always hunt around in the BIOS on Windows machines, and I discovered that EFI is what they use on a Mac. Is there anything in there that's worth looking at that's going to make any difference to what happens?
Yes and no. There are some things that you can add, for example, to Grub, which is the boot manager for Linux. If you have a device that needs to be added at boot time, you would add it in the Grub config file, and it would then be managed by EFI. But you don't generally need to go in there and muck around.
Okay.
In fact, it's contraindicated, shall we just say.
And UEFI is replacing BIOS on some PCs.
Right.
But a lot of them still include BIOS for backward compatibility to Windows 10.
Right. Mm-hmm. Right. So it's a combination of things, but you know, just like you normally don't have to fool around in the BIOS, you also don't need to fool around in the EFI. And unless you really know what you're doing, do not touch it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Don't touch. Got it. Okay. That's enough for now.
That's all you get, then.
Thank you.
All right, have fun.
There was a XKCD cartoon where someone put out an app, Earthquake Predictor, and it was 5 stars. It had 1,000 reviews. I love the way it looks. It's so pretty. The buttons are easy to click. And there was one-star review that said didn't predict earthquake.
Oops.
Oopsie.
It is.
It's a 5-star program, though.
It was a 5-star program, except that it doesn't actually
nice
do
looks, but doesn't
to.
Work for beans.
Yeah, right. I once found an app that was a locator, and when you ran it, it just said on the screen, you are here.
Good one. Glad that straightened well that be, out, yeah.
That may well be my favorite app of all time. Yeah.
It wasn't wrong.
No, it wasn't wrong. All right, any other questions, Dave?
No, he's gone.
Oh, Dave's gone. Okay. In that case, I want to thank Dolores for her generous donation, and I want to thank Dolores for her generous donation. Thank you, Dolores and Dolores.
She's a sweetie.
She's been
with us. She's been a member for
both
as long as we've been on the air, I believe.
Yeah, I believe so.
She's just always supported us no matter what. And that's what we need the other folks to do, is be like a Dolores and, you know, again, support us so we can continue doing this every Saturdays from 12 to 2, because we enjoy it. Otherwise, you know.
Do we? Oh, I didn't know why I was here.
Yeah.
That's why. I mean,
be honest with you, I could find other things to do on a Saturday from 12 to 2. There's plenty of other things. But for 36 years, I've given up my Saturdays. So is the family, and decided to come and do this show. And again, as Nick's pointed out, we don't get paid for it. The only pay we get is the knowing that you folks will pick up the phone and support us, saying, yeah, you guys actually do offer something to the community. I've learned a lot. I really appreciate it. And it's their way of saying thank you for the efforts that we put in every Saturday. Coming here and talking to you folks about just about any matter. I mean, you think about it. We've gone from the old original PC The old PC with dial-up coupler, the coupler machines that you had to pick up the phone, put it in, and hear the tones and everything else to get a connection. Right on up to now, where, you know, we're doing things wireless. That even now, we've seen come and go our CD-ROMs and Blu-ray.
They Zip both, drives.
They have come into our lives and gone. You don't see in a basic computer anymore a CD-ROM drive.
I was cleaning out some stuff, and I found a half a dozen Sony mini discs. I'm waiting to find the player.
Hard cards and zip Bernoulli drives.
Yep.
I mean, we could go on, folks, and most of you are probably sitting there scratching your head.
There's a
what the heck is he talking about, Bernoulli drives? Yeah, most of you folks have forgotten about it and long gone, you know? Yep. I mean, but we've been here, and we've been through all of this stuff.
We've been here for you. Now we need you to be here for us. Here make that call. Make that pledge. 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll free 800-790-0415. Or securely online at jazz901.org.
It's the Museum of Obsolete Media.org.
Nice.
There you go.
All right. So I'm going to read some more Microsoft news while you make that call and make that pledge. There's been a little glitch in Microsoft's grand scheme to move the world to Windows 11. Just after 10 reached end of life, Microsoft broke their Windows Media Creation Tool through a recent update. The Windows Media Creation Tool is the thing that lets you create a bootable USB or DVD, which can then be used to reinstall or do a clean install of Windows 11 on a new or used device. Oopsie. I'm sure they're working day and night to get it fixed.
Mm-hmm.
Luckily, Microsoft has issued another workaround as it tries to resolve the issue affecting the Windows Media Creation Tool's functionality. You can navigate to the Windows 11 Installation Assistant page and select the Download Windows 11 Disk Image, ISO, for x64 devices option, and then follow the instructions as they appear on your screen to upgrade your Windows 10 PC to Windows 11. Microsoft also had an incident that prevented some customers from accessing Microsoft 365 applications. This follows two other major incidents that impacted Microsoft 365 last week, blocking customers' access to multiple services and platforms. This follows last week's Teams and Exchange Online outage and last month's completely different Exchange Online outage. Not sure I rely very heavily on Microsoft 365 right now, although Microsoft says they're all right now. Microsoft's October Windows 11 update has managed the impressive feat of breaking localhost, leaving developers unable to access web applications running on their own machines. That won't have much effect on regular users, but developers are a tiny bit miffed, possibly because it took over 24 hours before Microsoft even acknowledged the problem. According to their official statement on the issue, there's a workaround, but they won't issue a real fix until at least next month's Patch Tuesday. Remember Steve Ballmer screaming, developers, developers, developers? Yeah, not so much anymore, apparently. On Thursday, Microsoft announced a whole new slew of AI features for Windows 11. Of course they did, including a Hey Copilot mode. You can now, you can now give Copilot full access to your computer, including all your documents and spreadsheets, and it will do stuff for you. I cannot possibly foresee anything going wrong with that. Hey, Copilot, write my next performance review while I play a video game. We're still real, as far as you know, so give us a call, 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll free, 800-790-0415. I'm not at all certain that I particularly am going to trust Copilot AI to get things right. We all know that they hallucinate. We all know, I'm going to read this one next then. We all know that AIs hallucinate. We all know that they get it wrong. We all know that they lie.
And they're not doing what we want them to. We want a robot to do the laundry or do the dishes.
Well, exactly.
There was a laundry folding robot at CES a couple of years ago. It took like 20 minutes to fold one shirt.
I don't care.
What was going so? And I'm sure part of that was because it didn't hit somebody around the
end. Yeah, right. But yeah, so, no, you know, the, There are people who believe that AI is the greatest thing since laser sliced bread. There are people who think that AI will bring about the apocalypse. I'm somewhere in the middle. I think that AI can be useful, but it takes a lot of effort to get it right and to check your work. And if I'm going to check the work, I might as well do the work, because it's just as easy. It's easier to do it than to have to read through somebody else's stuff and check it.
You keep doing it wrong. Why am I even hired you?
It's easier to be a writer than to be an editor. That's a simple fact of life. And, I'd rather be the writer than the editor. So that's an issue that we still have. And, it's an issue that I'm not sure I have any idea who this is or where they're called. Brian from
Pavilion.
Oh, Pavilion. There's no R in Pavilion.
Oh, bite me.
All right. Can we talk to him now? Our next caller is Brian from Pavilion, New York. What's up, Brian?
What's up again, Dave?
Yeah.
He's a fellow. He's a fellow Les Dixick, like I am.
Yeah.
I'm saying Les Dixick's untied.
Yeah, right.
Darn straight.
No, I'll tell you what, man. I've fought with that all my life, and it's no fun. But man, it makes you strong because everyone picks on you.
Yeah, oh, yeah. All right.
What is it? All right. Do dyslexic children believe in Satan?
I've been dyslexic for years. I admit it. And it's just something they get to live with.
Yep.
Or guys like you and me, we connect almost like on a spiritual level. So
yeah.
We know.
There you go.
And it's a wink and a nod, a secret handshake.
Mm-hmm. There you go, Brian.
So what's up?
Listen. I've gone from riches to rags in my life and back and forth. As far as like you're talking about getting lower end computers, there's a lot of very, very good options in used computer market online. And I've had nothing but tremendous success with both customer service and machines that I bought used online.
Yep.
Some really nice stuff too.
Yep.
So that's also a very good option when you're worried about tariffs and things, because you're reducing e-waste. And you're getting a warrantied product, and you can actually order those without an operating system on them. They'll
right.
come with a drive, and it really, you can get down and dirty with some of these machines. I've got probably at least a 15-year-old ThinkCenter that I listen to you guys on Saturdays in my garage, and it's crushed and broken. It has no features or amenities, but it's running Linux Mint, and it just boots right up.
Yep.
It does everything my Windows 11 computer can do. And I don't miss it one bit. The only reason I've got a Windows 11 computer is because my wife won't switch.
Well, yes, and that's why we have a Windows 11
Same
machine
here.
In our house. That's mm-hmm. exactly right.
Same here.
You know, I have said this many times. I have an addiction. I buy used refurbished computers on Woot. And they're all refurbs. They all come with a one-year warranty. They all are super inexpensive. And they all run Linux like a top. They're just amazing. I highly recommend. Now, yes, every once in a while you get a lemon. Every once in a while, you know, life is the way life is, and every once in a while you're going to get a lemon. But
I got a stinker one time. This is back when Tiger Direct was in business.
Yeah.
And they're out now. I got a stinker one time, and they overnighted another exact same unit.
Well, and that's what I was about to say. I've had one or two stinkers, and I sent them back immediately, and they sent me another machine. One time they said, we don't have any more, we'll give you your money back. That's fine, too. That's fine, too.
We were a little worried when Amazon bought them that either the price would go up, but the Amazon back-end distribution has really helped Woot. So, and there's so many easily acquired products now.
Yeah. So I get it, and you're absolutely right, Brian. A refurb machine with a decent warranty.
Yep, and they all come with them. Yep.
Right. You're not going to run Windows 11. It may not run Windows 10 well, but it'll run any version of Linux like a trooper.
Oh, it's amazing.
And if particularly if you're looking to learn about Linux, if you're looking to move to it, or you want a second machine to play with and do stuff with, it's really an excellent choice.
Yep, sure is. Well, you guys take care.
You too. Thanks a lot, Brian.
You bet. We'll talk to you soon.
Enjoy those old computers. Yeah, I admit it. I have an addiction.
Nothing wrong with that, though. I mean, you know. Well,
and like I said, I move them out to people regularly, so they're not, you know. I enjoy making them run, making them, getting them set up, getting them ready to go. And then I enjoy the look of, you know, people when they get them. So I win twice.
I knew a woman that was having health issues and financial issues, so I gave her an old computer, and she lost it.
Okay, that's a separate issue.
So I don't want to give her another one.
No, yeah. That's the person you give a Chromebook to.
Yeah, that, you know, that's light, easy enough. Inexpensive enough to
right.
Not
so yeah. No, I get that. You have to. Well, look, I raised the daughter. You raised the child. How many times did she lose a calculator or a phone?
Mm-hmm.
I lost my phone, Dad. Then you don't have a phone. That's easy enough. I don't have another answer for you. You don't have a phone. Next day, I found it. Really? Good for you.
I read a story about a family that donated a bunch of toys their 3-4-year-old didn't use anymore to the daycare center.
Yeah.
And the next day at the daycare center, he's all excited about the new toys they got.
Yep. You know, we've raised our daughter to do that too. She's very good about moving stuff on when she doesn't want it anymore. And I'm proud of that. So yeah, we have, if you're looking for, you know, a second machine, the other thing I've been buying are those little mini computers. They're the same price or less money than Raspberry Pis, and they're more powerful and bigger hard drives and faster. And so I've been using those for a lot of the things that I originally used Raspberry Pis for. You can get them much less expensive. Like I've said before, about $120 thing. It's an i5 processor with 8 gigs of RAM and a terabyte hard drive for $120 and NVMe. It was amazing. All right, listen, we're going to take a quick break. We'll be back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, with Steve Ray, with me, Nick Francesco, and with you. It is 29 minutes after the hour. You're listening to the longest-running computer show in the known universe, Soundbites. Hey, what a great time to make that call and make that pledge. We'll be back in just a few.
It's America's longest-running computer show. Back to more Soundbites with Nick, Dave, and Steve. Next on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
And I'm Steve Ray.
In the 34 minutes after the hour, we are Soundbites, and we are on a pledge drive. So I'm looking at all the people actually watching on YouTube, and I can just imagine them all going,
yeah, quick hang up.
So you can make that call and make that pledge. 585-966-JAZZ. It's 966-5299. Toll free 800-790-0415. Make that call. Make that pledge. I'm in your face today. It's in your face week on Soundbites. I do want to read it says miscellaneous news. I wrote this under miscellaneous news, but it's all AI this week. Talking about AI that, you know, Microsoft, everything will be AI now. While AI company startups and others are rolling out their own web browsers that enabled AI services deep into the web surfing experience, Mozilla's Firefox is instead allowing its customers to swap out their default search engine for an AI-powered search engine in the browser they already use. The company on Tuesday announced that it's bringing AI answer engine Perplexity to Firefox, letting customers decide whether they want to use an AI to search the web and find new information, because heaven forbid, we don't use AI for everything. Speaking of AI, scientists are a skeptical bunch. It's in the job description. But when it comes to AI, researchers are growing increasingly mistrustful of the tech's capabilities. In a preview of its 2025 report on the impact of tech on research, the academic publisher Wiley, God love them, released preliminary findings on attitudes toward AI. One startling takeaway: the report found that scientists expressed less trust in AI than they did in 2024, when it was decidedly less advanced. For example, in the 2024 iteration of the survey, 51% of scientists polled were worried about potential hallucinations, a widespread issue in which large language models, LLMs, present completely fabricated information as fact. That is to say, they lie. That number was up to a whopping 64% in 2025, even as AI use among researchers surged from 45 to 62%. Anxiety over security and privacy were up 11% from last year, while concerns over ethical AI and transparency also ticked up. But for those of you who still trust AI, both of you, this is for Steve, OpenAI will soon allow erotica for ChatGPT users who verify their age on the platform. OpenAI CEO Sam Altman said the company will add support for mature conversations when it launches age gating in December. OpenAI isn't the only company dipping into erotica, as Elon Musk's XAI previously launched Flirty AI Companions, which appear as 3D anime models in the Grok app. If you really want nightmare fuel, never mind. OpenAI also announced the formation of a council on well-being and AI to help shape OpenAI's response to complex or sensitive scenarios. The council is comprised of a team of 8 researchers and experts who study the impact of technology and AI on mental health. Before you start sexting ChatGPT and we never see you again, give us a call, 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299, toll-free 800-790-0415. And in what I'm sure is a terrible, terrible segue, we're now going to talk to Janet from Oregon.
Mm-hmm.
What's up, Janet?
Hi, guys. I have a short story to tell you, and it's a mystery.
Uh-oh.
But it has a happy ending.
Okay. Go.
So I'm slowly working my way towards transitioning to Linux, but I wanted to get the extended security updates for Windows 10 just in case. So I was going to enroll by paying Microsoft $30, and when I went to enroll, it said I was already enrolled because I backed up my settings to OneDrive. However, I'm forced to use OneDrive at work, and I hate it.
So enjoy the rest of us.
I never used it on my personal computer, so I have no idea how they got my settings because I would never knowingly do that. But anyway,
Do you use the same Microsoft account on your home computer that you do on your work computer?
No. No. But, so I took that $30 that I didn't have to pay Microsoft, and I donated it to Jazz 90.1.
Thank you.
Well done, Janet. Thank you. You Oregon people are all right by me.
I would encourage other people in that situation to do the same.
There you go. Here's a challenge to all you people in Oregon. Janet's challenging you to send in your $30. Who do I know in Oregon? I know somebody in Grants Pass. I know a couple people in Grants Pass.
I know a lot of ham operators.
Yeah.
Over there.
Well, all you people in Oregon, or Oregon, I don't care how you pronounce it, send in your money. Money talks. However, in whatever accent you want. So thank you, Janet. Thank you for your donation, and thank you so much for that information. We appreciate that. Thank you.
And the other thing that you got to do, Janet, while you're out there, is spread the word about Soundbites. Let other folks know that we're here every Saturday. You know, for you, it's probably, around 10 o'clock that we come on. What, you're 2 hours difference than us?
3 hours.
So, at 9 o'clock, you can turn on at 9 o'clock and tell your friends to start your morning that they can listen to sound bites and learn a lot.
Listen to us during breakfast. Yeah.
I had my coffee at 11, which is 9 year time. We could have had coffee together, Janet.
We're here.
Don't tell my wife.
Yeah, we're here every Saturday. So, tell your friends and relatives if they have computer questions. It's a toll-free number. And we have a lot of fun with it, and they might learn something in between.
Tell your friends, tell your enemies.
I agree.
Thank you. Thank you, Janet. Thank you. Have a terrific day.
Thanks, guys.
Bye-bye.
No, thank you.
I've always wanted to go visit my friend in Grants Pass. It sounds like a lovely place.
I've had a couple of customers do the ESU and say, you're already backing up your settings, and they don't remember ever doing that. Okay, fine. Yeah, it's $30 you don't have to pay.
Well, there's that. And Janet is right.
And it would be your Microsoft account that it's looking for.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And it may well. I haven't honestly looked to see if I do have one Windows 11 machine that I haven't yet moved over to Windows to Linux. And so I should go home and look and see if that is indeed backing up to OneDrive by itself. Because I know I
most likely it is because by default. It wants to install it with the other patches.
Well, there was a Windows update that installed OneDrive
automatically
without telling anyone, even though it's mm-hmm. in the fine print, no one reads.
Yep, right.
And it changes your home folder to be on OneDrive and then syncs everything in your home folder, your documents and pictures and everything in there.
Right. So if you have more than 5 gig,
you suddenly now start getting shunned, and you have to buy more space.
Right.
And so there was a meme going around for a while. No, Microsoft, I want to save my file on my computer, in my hard drive that's in my house.
See,
that I own.
That's because you think you own that computer.
Yeah.
You do not. If you put Linux on it, you own it.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't, Microsoft owns it. All right, we want to thank Scott for his very generous donation. Thank you, Scott, friend of the show out there in Buffalo. Thank you very much. Scott has become a member of this. Well, he's been a member for
decades.
He's renewed his membership. If you are a member, this is your chance to renew. If you're not a member, why not? It's so easy to do. All you have to do is call 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299 or toll-free 800-790-0415. Talk to the lovely and talented Cheryl. She'll be happy to help you become a member or renew your membership or upgrade your membership or just throw some money at us. We don't care.
Yeah.
And if you would rather do it on your own, you can go to jazz901.org. Hit that big red donate now button and you're on your way. We need your dollars to stay on the air. You've seen the issues we've had sometimes with the phone systems. I don't know if you know this. I hope you're sitting down. If you're driving, pull over to the side of the road before I say this. Phone systems cost money. And if we could upgrade the phone system, we absolutely would. But we can't without dollars. We need you to make that call and make that pledge. We run this state, you know, unlike a number of other stations, we run real close to the bone here.
Not a shoestring.
Yeah, There's no fat in the budget.
No grant money or state help.
Well, right. And it's none of that. And then there's certainly not, you know, we don't have a lot of pork in this budget. You will know that every dollar you send us gets used to keep this station on the air. That's all. We need your assistance. We need your help, please. Make that call, make that pledge, 585-966-JAZZ, that's 966-5299, toll-free 800-790-0415, or pledge securely online at jazz901.org.
The only pork we get is like pork and beans diet.
Yeah, exactly,
because,
right.
You know, it's slim pickings here, folks. You know, we don't have some big, elaborate studio. I mean, you folks hear me all the time, you know, when you call and ask, I have to have you speak up, because I'm in the same room, less than 4 feet away from these guys.
I would like to be farther away from these guys. Help us out.
I'd rather be in another room, seriously. And it's no offense to you guys.
No, I get it.
To handle the phone calls and everything else because, one, I wear hearing aids. I'll admit it. It's a little bit harder. But then when these two guys in front of me here get going on lively conversations with other callers, I can't always hear people that well. And it's like, what? And I get it wrong sometimes because of names and places where the heck they live. I can't always hear it. And I'm guessing. Right. I'll admit it.
Yeah, absolutely. No, I get it. Because you speak softly so that we don't hear you.
Yeah.
And then they speak softly back at you.
No, so they don't know.
No, I get
it. And I have to tell them, speak up.
Yeah.
You can yell into the phone. I don't care. I'll hear it better. But they talk so softly.
Yeah. All right. But before we go on to anything else, I should tell my little story on myself so that you have, you know, people are saying, well, you know, you guys know all this stuff and I don't, there's things we don't know. I have a new desktop. No, new. It's almost a year old now, but it's had this issue where I have two drives in there, both NVMEs. One is a 1 terabyte drive that's my root directory. I'm running Linux. And the other is a 4 terabyte drive that's my home directory. And every once in a while, it seems like every other day, the home directory, home drive disappears. It's not unmounted. It's gone. I can't remount
it. Shuts down.
It doesn't find it anywhere. Nothing, nothing, nothing. So first I thought it was overheating because I put it in myself. I thought maybe I put it in badly. No, it's fine. I had a heat sink on it, but maybe it's overheating. No, it's not overheating. I checked that, you know, every minute I was checking
other things.
I checked it, the smart readings. It's, you know, 0% errors on the smart readings. And then I suddenly had the thought, maybe, and this is months ago, right? This is months now that I've had this problem. Maybe it's going to sleep.
Mm-hmm.
Because on a laptop, there's a thing that will put your hard drives to sleep to save power.
Battery life, yeah.
And I thought, well, that can't be right because this is a desktop. It shouldn't even have that circuitry. But then I thought, okay, all right. So there's a command you can add to Grub. We talked about Grub earlier today. To the boot up sequence that says, don't ever put your drives to sleep. It has now been 8 days. The drive has not fallen asleep, so I am cautiously optimistic that I have solved this problem.
Well,
on to the next one.
on to the next one. But yeah, and I thought, okay, so I don't know what's causing this. And I went so far as to unplug the Ethernet and just run it on Wi-Fi, thinking, I don't know, but this is a thing that might be the problem.
Yep.
So, you know, I tried everything, but this seems to be what caused it. And it seems, cross my fingers, knock on wood. We'll see if this actually solves the problem, but,
that makes sense.
Everybody, I mean, because everybody has troubles.
Most desktop computers and like laptops, you know, for the longest time, Windows always had it go in sleep mode. That if you left the screen, you know, the screen lock would come on. You'd have to hit the enter button and then everything would spin back up because, you know, it doesn't want to waste the electricity and all that and energy.
Right.
That they would,
but it's an NVMe drive. It's not using any energy.
That you know of.
Well, I mean, if it is, it's using a trickle, the tiniest little nothing.
But still, it's still a circuit that's still open.
Right. So, anyway, I've turned off the sleep mode, which it should. And why was it on one drive and not on the other drive? Okay.
Same brand?
Maybe not. Maybe not.
I was going to say,
if one is a Samsung, maybe that's
different manufacturers by different rules.
Maybe. So anyway, I think it's fixed. I'm being, like
if
I said, cautiously
days,
optimistic.
Yeah, it sounds
cautiously
like,
optimistic.
I would think by 8 days now, that's
if it's still okay this time next year, then I'll say, yeah, it's working.
No, I'd say if by next week, if you still come here and say that it's been still running, you've solved the problem, and that's what it was. It was
we'll
that
see.
Particular drive. Maybe it was set up with the mechanism to
turned
go into
down.
A laptop in sleep mode.
Maybe they assumed it was going to be in a laptop because NVMe.
Yeah. Right,
not,
exactly.
Not SATA.
Exactly. So, who knows, but all I know is it's now working, and I have my total of 5 terabytes of disk space, of which I'm using like a total of 4% or something. It's
For now.
That's it. There are lots of little issues and with your computer. And one of the frustrations for all of us is it is rare these days that the fix is one simple thing.
Yeah.
You have to try 5 or 6 or 10 different things in order to find the one not simple thing that is the issue.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, when you run into a problem, don't get frustrated. It may take a while to come to the solution, but you will get there.
You got to sit back and, well, that was the whole thing with our business, and I know Steve's probably the same thing. You know, I mean, challenges like that were that to me, a challenge. A lot of folks say, you're sick. I'm going, yeah. Yes. I enjoyed the challenges of trying to figure out why it was doing what it was doing. And that's the whole thing. You got to step back. Take a second to rebreathe and think, all right, what changed? And that's where I got into the habit of making notes.
Always. On
anything that I changed, any setting or anything else, I had notebooks that I would just sit there and make notes on scrap pieces of paper or whatever on things that I changed, because I knew I wouldn't remember, because you get going on things and you can easily get lost because of the frustration.
I have a site book for every one of my computers and mm-hmm. all the changes. The change to the grub config is in that site book now. If I ever have to redo this machine for some reason, or if I have this problem on another machine, I can go and look and say, oh, yeah, that's how I solved it here.
Well, it's just like one of my ham radios working with the little laptop that I have. There are certain settings that have to be exactly this way with this particular radio. And I, like you, created a little book because it can easily get confused at times. It's a Chinese radio, and it will once in a while have a brain fart and lose its settings and yep. that, and I got to go back in there. What do? I pull out my little cheat sheet and it says, all right, go down the list because of all the notes that I took. Finally, once you know I figured everything out, I cleaned up the notes, and I've got this checklist that I can go down now. And for now, what, 2 years, it works faithfully. If it hiccuped, I can go ahead. All right, do. Oh, yeah, that one changed.
Yeah,
because it can happen.
All my site books are in Google Docs, except for the one for the router. Because if the router goes down, I can't get to Google Docs, so that one's on paper.
Yeah, that'd be a challenge.
Yeah, but yeah, you should be writing these things down. And of course, I know many of you write down your passwords, but you're like Dave. You have a notebook and you throw a piece of paper in there. Now you don't know what's the new paper.
Yeah.
So you need.
Oh, my wife was like that. Now,
that password didn't work. Then cross it off.
Yeah.
So don't try it again.
Cross it off.
Yeah.
Or use a password manager.
Yes.
Where you know you have one entry for say Gmail. If you change the password, you change it in there. Now you don't need the old one anymore. If you want to keep the old one, there's a notes field.
Mm-hmm.
Copy the old one down to the notes field and put in the new one. If you're as much a pack rat as I am and you want to keep track of all the old ones,
or
that's
key
how
codes,
you do it.
I mean, there's so
key
many
codes,
fields that you can add in NPass. I mean, the other key thing too, along with the using a password manager, is take that master password and pass it on to your spouse. God forbid.
Or your kids.
Or if something happens to you, they can get, like for me, my wife's got it. Anything happens to me, she can get into the banking account or anything else that she needs to get into, because I've got them all secure and they're big passwords. There's no way.
Well, exactly. Mm-hmm. And you know, NPass will put them right into the browser for you.
Yep.
So in my case, my wife and my daughter both have those passwords. And they can either get on my machine to do it, or they already have NPass on
yep.
their machines using the same account. So that's easy enough. That's in fact, I had to tell my daughter that the other day. She said, what's the password for this? Honey. Oh, yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
H-O-N-E-Y? Five characters?
Yeah. H-O-N-E-Y, five characters. Capital O. Yeah. But, yeah. So
no, zero, a zero instead of O.
A zero yeah. instead of an O.
A three instead of an E.
Yeah.
Because yeah. I'm smart.
Because I'm smart. Because I'm leet.
Leet, yeah.
But, yeah. So you've got to understand that there's none of us are 20 anymore. And even when I was 20, I wrote stuff down because I had too much stuff in my head, too much stuff in my head to remember it all. But if I remember to write it down, I don't have to keep it in my head. I might remember it. Back when I was working, I regularly logged in every day to over 40 devices. And I remembered every one of those passwords every single day. But I used them every single day. You know, but even so, they were in a password manager. But I remembered all of them every single day because I had to use them every single day. Now I couldn't tell you one of them with a gun in my head, but they're still in my old passkeeper. So, yeah.
Same with me. You know, I mean, with the ham radio, I've got two different radios. They're not the same. So each one, their settings are different. I've got books for each one, depending on the software packages and that, because they're all, both going to be different. Even though they're the same brand, they're different. And I have certain settings that work with this one, but don't work with that one. And thank God for the logbooks.
Yep.
And I also, on some of the critical stuff, again, I put it up to my Google Drive.
Yep.
Some of the notes and all that stuff, because then that way, they're backed up.
Yeah, that's the way to do it. There's too much in our heads these days. And so we need the help. And it doesn't hurt to have the help. I don't understand people who refuse the help. I don't get it. Anyway, I want to thank every single person who was kind enough to donate. I only know the people who called in, and that's Scott and Dolores and William and Sandra. And I want to thank each of them, and I want to thank everybody who was kind enough to donate online. We are in the middle of a pledge drive, and we need your support. So the show's over, but the drive is not over. So if you haven't, and again, I'm staring at the YouTube watchers now, if you haven't pledged yet, now is the time. But we're done for another week. I want to thank Dave Enright. I want to thank Steve Ray. I'm Nick Francesco. I want to thank everybody who called in. I want to thank everybody who listened. I want to thank everybody just out in the world. We'll see you in just 166 hours. Be good to one another, will you?